Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Try Hulu Plus for free for 2 weeks with our link, huluplus.com/Rob.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor San Juan del Sur, episode number 8 is in the books, and the know-it-alls are here. Let's break it all down. I'm Rob Sestrino. Here's Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Not doing well, Rob. As you can imagine, I'm not doing well. Josh,
wait, did you go to a taco bar and overindulge again?
I'm farting, belching, and spitting up a storm over here. I'm so upset that Josh has been eliminated. I can't believe it. Not, you know, I thought he was playing an excellent game, you know, probably the best game of this season. And his edit was so perfect. I've been saying week to week, Josh is the guy. Josh has got it wrapped up. Worse than even seeing Josh be eliminated is having to own up to being terribly wrong.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to sort through tonight. And I feel like there was a lot of red herrings in the episode of things that maybe are just distracting us from what's really going on. So I'm really looking forward to sorting through what we should be caring about and talking about and what we shouldn't be caring and talking about. So that's what I want to do first thing when we get into talking about the episode. Let me just set up everything that we're doing here tonight. We're live, of course, November 12th, live after the episode. Episode number 8 is in the books. We've got the chat room going on robhaswebsite.com, plus Scott St. Pierre is monitoring your tweets with the hashtag RHAP, and also on our YouTube channel. You can post your comments. We'll answer your questions later on in the show at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Getting ready for a big Thursday once again on Rob as a Podcast. We're going to talk to Steven's boy, Josh.
No! Oh, but it's in a bad way, though.
In a bad way, yes.
I was excited to hear a Josh interview when you said it, and then I was once again reminded, I feel like I'm still processing this information that Josh has been eliminated. Terrible news.
Bad news. It's bad news, but we'll talk to Josh nonetheless tomorrow morning on our exit interview. And then we've got a very fun podcast coming in. Steven's second Bushkauskas brother, the second favorite Bushkauskas brother, Otis Bushkauskas, is
your
coming.
Favorite Bushkauskas. Can we say that he's your favorite Bushkauskas?
He's my favorite over Vetus, but it's close. Vetus is a good guy, but you know,
they're both great guys. They're both great. They're so handsome. You know, they're perfect in every way. They were inner beauty.
Yeah, a good inner beauty. And so I'm going to talk to Otis. He's coming in person, going to come in into studio. So we're going to do our podcast and voicemails with Otis. So get your voice.
I get it. You're like, oh, yeah, I just have an Otis come over to my house. Look how cool I am. I get it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. All right. Yeah. So we're gonna have Otis come in tomorrow. So get your voicemails in. robhaswebsite.com/voicemails. 323-282-RHAP. And Steven, the Rob Has a Podcast bell shirt, the hours are ticking down. Tomorrow we got the deadline extended. Teespring said, why don't you give it one more day? So they extended the deadline. So at this time of recording, T-minus 20 hours and 38 minutes if you want to get your hands on the RHAP new shirt. It's the only shirt that will make people want to ding you, Steven.
Oh my God. I need a good digging.
Yeah, that's right. So if you want to check that out, go to robhaswebsite.com/bellshirt or click in the sidebar of robhaswebsite.com. Then it's going away.
That's it. It's like a ghost. It was never here.
It's like the McRib. It's going away. All right.
It's there and poof.
So Stephen, let's get into this because I really am trying to sort out in my mind what happened here tonight. Of course, John and Jacqueline were the team that flipped the two of them, and there was a lot of things that were thrown at us in this episode. And I want to sort of get your take on. I want to throw things at you. You tell me if it's real or if it's I wouldn't say call it quite fan fiction, but I would definitely say that it's stuff that we shouldn't talk about. Can you give us two boxes to put these things in?
Oh yeah, I wish I had my phone. I downloaded the RHAP app, the RHAP, and it's great. I love it. You've got all the sounds. You got the fan fiction sound. You got the muffin sound. I wish I had it with me. I meant to have it.
All right. Well, you can download it anytime from robatthewebsite.com/app. That being said,
the setup is you're going to say a thing like this is a thing. And I'm going to be like, this is something we need to worry about.
Real or fake in terms of
importance to the episode.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
All right. We're going to see.
I was going to start with Kim Kardashian's butt picture.
Oh my God. Very important to this episode. I feel like it's important to society. It recontextualizes how we conceive everything. So like when we're looking at butts on the beach, whether it's John's butt or Jacqueline's butt, you know, now we see it through the lens of Kim Kardashian.
And a lot of butt talk in this episode.
There was a lot of butt, okay. A lot of farting. So, you know, you can think of Kim Kardashian.
All right. Number one. Okay. Issue number one, Stephen. The men of the Josh and Reed Alliance, specifically Wes, Keith, Alec, burping and farting. Is that it? Did that contribute to the vote? Yes or no?
I think it contributed. Is there a middle one where I can pick? Here's the thing about the burping and farting. I actually think you picked one of the trickier things to start off with, you know, because I think ultimately what contributed to Jacqueline's flailing sort of disrespected. And I think the burping and the farting was one small part of that. You know, the way the burping and the farting manifested, where they were like burping at Baylor and Missy didn't like it. Like that to me seemed like not as relevant. But the fact that this was contributing to this like atmosphere of Jacqueline feeling kind of disrespected by this like boys club, I think that was very important in the crux of it. So I think that like the burping farting kind of like exists in this hazy middle area.
So people, number two, people not strategizing with Jacqueline when John isn't around, real or fake thing?
I mean, it's the same thing. It's like her feeling disrespected. Everything comes down to how Jacqueline feels in this episode. And like, she's not feeling like she's respected. So I'm going to say real.
Yeah. Okay. How about the idea of Jeremy, in the, like who they can beat in the final tribal council? Is that a real thing or a fake thing?
I think that's a fake thing. You know, like, I don't think that really, you know, as Jacqueline says, John is being stupid about that. Like, it's too far down the line. I think that's fake.
Okay.
What do you think? I mean, are you going to weigh in here, or am I just hanging it out all on the line?
Well, I'm still contemplating. These are the things that I'm asking about and I want to know your opinion on.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. That you're so binary and cut and dry and say, yes, this was a factor. Yeah. This wasn't a factor.
I am.
All right. How about Josh tells Baylor, you owe me one, and then Baylor is turned off with Josh. Is that a factor or not a factor in the decision tonight?
You know what? I think it was not a factor. I think we talked last week about the you owe me one, and it's never an effective, you know, it's never an effective strategic in. Ultimately, I think Baylor's decision was not based on her feeling like Josh either owed or didn't, or she either owed or didn't owe Josh one. Her decision was based on Muffin, and she was creating a rationalization around what Muffin had already said.
Because it seems like to me from the episode, and the narrative that I took away from the episode is, you know, Josh and Reed kind of didn't do anything wrong. Other, you know, Josh had that conversation with Baylor that didn't go well, and he was definitely way too forceful in that conversation. But because that they are aligned with these idiots, they turned off Jacqueline to the point that John, to save his relationship, could not sustain this alliance with them and had to go and vote with the Missy Jeremy group, not because he wanted to, but because he needed to keep his fiance happy.
I think that's accurate. I think John wanted to hang with the bros. I think Alec was actually right that like John was solid with the bros. Alec just didn't realize that like he couldn't be a total ass to Baylor or to Jacqueline and get away with it, you know? But John's inclination was obviously to go with the guys, and you know, A, he needs to keep his lady placated, and B, like he doesn't want to see his lady disrespected. Like if you're, you know, of course you're going to be pissed off at someone who's being rude to your woman or your, in Jeff's terms, you know?
So Who do you think is the better player, John or Jacqueline, Steven?
Jacqueline, right? Jacqueline is the better player. And I thought actually Jacqueline's point of, you know, you can't beat those guys at the end, right? Like, let's go with Jeremy, who doesn't win anything. He won the memory challenge, to be fair. Let's go with Natalie. Let's go with Baylor and Muffin rather than like Josh and Reed, who are basically professional athletes, right? They're Broadway performers. You know, Wes and Keith are both oxes. You know, and Alec is like this young buck. Like, why would you choose the strongest alliance, like the alliance of the strongest dudes to go against down to the end instead of like the Baylor and Muffin alliance? So I think Jacqueline's point there was very compelling.
So do you feel like ultimately John and Jacqueline made the correct decision?
Oh, totally. And I said that last week too, like that, like I was annoyed at them for making the incorrect decision when it looked like they were going to go with Josh and Reed. Like, Josh and Reed have a bigger alliance that is more filled with real competitors versus the Jeremy alliance, where, like, you know, John and Jacqueline can actually have a strategic impact, you know?
Yeah.
And Jeremy, the fact that Jeremy is such a threat, you know, John's rationale for not joining the Jeremy alliance is that Jeremy's a threat for the final tribal. But, like, that's the greatest reason to join that alliance, right? It's like why Tony kept Spencer around. You want the big threat around because it takes the heat off you and it motivates other people. You know, joining this alliance of five people with one other couple and a huge threat, like, that's gold. I guess it's not even five people anymore since Julie quit. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer for them to join the Muffin alliance. And, you know, the fact that they did it, like, kudos to them.
So, Steven, do you feel like we're going to have a pagonging now where now the alliance of six now picks off the rest of the people from the alliance of four so that the next four boots in some order is Reed, Keith, Wes, and Alec?
I mean, that's what it looks like, unfortunately. Like, that's always the problem with, like, this part of the season is that it becomes, like, a little bit predictable unless Tony's involved. Yeah, I do sort of think that Reed is probably in deep trouble next week. And he's the obvious boot for so many reasons, you know. Yeah.
But why is Reed the obvious boot next week?
He's very physically fit, right? He's, you know, it's sort of an easy boot for everybody, right? We're just cleaning house here. And it's, you know, it's not pissing off any new people. And yeah, I mean, you know, he's got a vengeance, right? You want to get rid of the guy with a vendetta.
So was it a big mistake for the alliance of the people that were on the yellow team in terms of the taco reward, which included Reed, Wes, and Keith? Was it a huge mistake to send John to Exile Island in retrospect, or was that something that was consequences which were unforeseen?
I mean, in retrospect, there's no question it was a mistake, right? Had John been there, Jacqueline would have never felt so alone. She would have never been hanging out with Baylor and Natalie like she was, and she would have never been as disrespected by the guys like she was, right? Like, clearly, had John not been sent to exile, those things wouldn't have happened. Like, that doesn't necessarily make it a bad decision to send her to exile, because, you know, I mean, I feel like those conversations about exile exist in this universe that we never see, at least for me on my season. Like, we talked constantly about who deserved to go on reward, who deserved to go to exile, who could handle exile, you know? So, like, it feels like those are always things that are almost outside the game. And the decision to send John to exile may in some ways have been outside the game. And to be honest, like, might have been a strategic decision to, like, keep him away from strategy, right? You send him to exile and he can't be swayed by Jeremy. He can't be convinced by whomever because he's out of the picture. So if you think John is a decision maker, then there's actually some rationale to sending him away where he'll be, you know, sort of removed from the game. That said, obviously it ends up being a terrible idea. You know, and we saw what happened.
It seemed like to me it was Wes and Keith were the ones driving that decision. Is that fair to say?
It sure looked that way, yeah.
And so if that's the case, why send the person who's the swing vote to Exile Island? Sure, you say, okay, I think that they're the only person that can handle it. But why not send somebody who's not in that vote? Was it because it would have been come across as, you know, overly mean to send one of the women from that group to Tribal Council?
To Exile. I don't think there's any way you get away with sending one of the women, right? Like, that looks just like crappy. Mm-hmm. Could they have sent Josh? Yeah, they could have sent Josh.
Or Alec.
Alec would have been actually a good one to send.
Yeah. Why not send, I think in hindsight, I mean, send Alec to Exile Island. That might have been the better way to go.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, certainly in hindsight, right? You sending John was a disaster. But, you know, like I said, I do think that there's probably, like, some calculus that goes into this that we're not even seeing. You know, maybe Alec had a tenuous relationship with so-and-so, and he was terrified of Exile. So it's like, you know, those decisions are so convoluted, and, like, you have so few things to talk about on Survivor, right? Like, you're sitting around for so long, and there's very little actual stuff to talk about. So the stuff that you do have to talk about gets kind of talked about endlessly. One of those things is, who's going to exile next? Is there an exile next? Will there be an idol? You know, who knows if all that, like, how all that played out.
Steven, who do you think had the worst game tonight? Who played the worst tonight? Who is the recipient of the Sesti Award, if you were going to give out one tonight?
I mean, for this is worst Survivor play. I feel like it's, you know, I'm kind of expostulating here. You're sort of like playing it close to the vest tonight.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that. And again, I'm sort of still trying to formulate my opinions on this stuff. But I think Keith played the worst tonight. And I think that both, yeah, I'm really turned off right now. Not turned off. I'm really turned off right now by Wes and Keith and Alec. Those three guys just, they seem to have no sense of the game whatsoever. And I'm no, huge Baylor fan or anything like that, but just this idea of picking on Baylor and she doesn't do any work and really just like, you know, let's boss Baylor around. Those three guys all really turned me off tonight.
You know, I think that I agree that none of them like played particularly well, but is what Keith did as bad as what Alec did? I don't think so. Like, from my perspective, Alec was by far the worst, right? Like, he was the one who actually said that comment to Jacqueline, or like, you know, he's like, can you girls keep the fire going? Well, I know Natalie can, you know, like, he's directly insulting Jacqueline, and not just insulting her, but insulting her like in front of other people, you know, to other people.
Yeah.
So he's humiliating her. You know, like, and I think that's much worse than, you know, Keith's like, yeah, Keith was sort of like jerky and he told Missy about the.
Yeah,
the
that's
Baylor
really though, bad, like, right?
But who cares? I mean, it didn't really have an effect on the game. Like, you know, the only thing that actually had an effect was this feeling, Jacqueline feeling disrespected, and that was Alec. And even Keith kind of had that inclination, like, shouldn't we go talk to Jacqueline? And Alec was like, no, definitely not. We definitely should not go talk to Jacqueline. Like, what? At what point ever in Survivor should you not go talk to someone?
Yeah, no, these players this season, and there's a couple of good ones, but just overall, we have so many of these, you know, I'm sure they're all nice guys, but maybe not. But we have like just idiots out here, and it really, I feel bad for Reed and Josh that they made an alliance. It's on them. They made an alliance with these guys. But just, we have these dumb players.
It's terrible, terrible play across the board.
And I like Jeremy.
I think Jeremy.
You know what? I'm happy to see Jeremy come out on top. I wish that the Jeremy versus Josh thing could have gone on longer. Unfortunately, it did not. But I think Jeremy is a solid player. I think that he could do well in almost any season that you put him on. Missy, we've teased her, but I think that she has shown she has shown some game.
Got some chance. Yeah,
there's maybe there's hope for Jacqueline after all this. But John, I haven't been impressed with him. Baylor, you know, that she seems like a nice kid, but, you know, there seems to be this narrative going on the whole season that she's spoiled and she doesn't really do anything. That's troubling. Natalie has been good.
Great.
I like her. Josh and Reed both seem like they were strategic. We've talked about Josh, that Reed tried to make a good pitch tonight, but Keith, Alec, Wes, you know, of the final 10, you know, there's, you know, four or five people there that really have no idea what they're doing.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, that's actually like a pretty good season's worth of like decent strategic players, right? We have Jeremy, Josh, Reed, Natalie, Muffin, you know, that's not bad. Five, you know, Jacqueline to a certain extent, you know, we lost Kelly early. Like, there's a lot actually going on there. And like, I think what the issue is that the bad ones are so bad, you know, it's like,
here, well, let's go back, Alec
and Drew, you know, like they're just bringing down the whole group.
Yeah. Let me just give you, I mean, can I bring up last season, or is last season an outlier?
Well, I do think last season is an outlier, and I actually think it's ruined us for all other seasons.
Is that, like, I was going to give you like the people that made the merge in Survivor in last season. And you tell me, you know, just proportionally, how many people, if it's a favorable comparison or not.
Right.
Okay. We've come too far down the rabbit hole. So let me just give you. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
all right. So let me give you the people that were on, the former, I don't remember what the, you know, what tribe flags, they had at this point, but they came into the merge. We had Spencer.
Right.
Yeah. We had Spencer, Cass, Tasha, you know, all people that brought something to the table. They had Morgan, who, well, you know, she had her fans, you know,
come on.
All right.
I don't think, I mean, Morgan had her fans is like Baylor has her fans, you know, like,
no, that is totally different, demographic.
Really? Yeah. Different fans, but like same idea.
Yeah. Then you had Jeremy, who was kind of kind of just there. And then also, then you had Sarah, and again, gave us a good, you know, merge episode.
Sarah was as good as, you know, Sarah was like John, right? Like Sarah was a John.
No, Sarah was better than John.
Come on, Sarah, when she was like playing Queen Sarah,
she played too hard, and that's fine. I'm okay with people.
She played too bad.
Okay. And then on the other side, you had, of course, you had Tony, you had LJ. And then
now you're just pandering to me.
No, well, you had both those guys. They were good. And then you had, you know, Trish, Woo, Jeffra. So I guess it's not, you know, if we're going to say maybe there was one or two more players that were sort of in the mix. I guess the thing is,
the good players last season were just so good, right?
Yeah.
They were good TV and they were good. They were good strategists. Like, you know, Spencer and Tony were great, right? Tony, probably one of the best ones ever. It's just hard to come down from that when you've got like really good, you've got like, you know, Josh and Jeremy are really solid players, right? They could hold their own in any season.
Yeah. And I know I've picked on, Jeremy a little bit this season, that he seems like he's always pissed off and he's always like, oh my God, these people are so dumb. But it's, you know what? Maybe a little bit, you know, maybe he's onto something.
That's the Boston Rob confessional too, right? Like they're all so stupid. I can't do it. You know, once again, I'm on the buffoon tribe.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. All right. Okay. It's this whiskey. It's the whiskey. It's got me hot. I'm even going for impersonations.
All right. Let's see. Where do we go from here now, Steven? Okay. So now, we have the group of six. Do you think that there is a sub-alliance in the group of six? Like, give me the breakdown here.
All right. So we've got, which is the group of six?
The group of six. Okay. Alliance. We got Jeremy. We've got Natalie. We've got, Muffin. We've got Baylor. John and Jacqueline.
Well, that's the thing, you know, to like John and Jacqueline's point, they're on the outs of any alliance they're in, right? That's what Jacqueline said, right? Like, no matter what alliance, people are going to be pissed at it.
Well, not necessarily, because in this group
Jeremy
of six,
doesn't ever know, right? That Jeremy doesn't know that he was ever betrayed by them.
Yeah, he doesn't quite know that's what was going on. I mean, he definitely knows they were on the fence. I don't think he knew that they were on the other side of the fence at the time that Julie quit. And again, Julie's quit looms super huge for this game right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, had Julie not quit, it's very likely that Jeremy would have been voted out.
Sure.
I mean, that's a 100% flip in this game, you know? It's basically nobody, you know, not since Malcolm was totally screwed by Corinne have we seen someone so screwed by a member of their, you know.
Whoa, Steven.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when Corinne went and ruined Malcolm's game in Survivor.
Okay, I thought you were talking about something else. So, but in this group of six, it's really interesting here because you have Jeremy and Natalie, and then you have Missy and Baylor, and then you have John and Jacqueline, which is a de facto three couples. And so when we are getting towards the final six, you're going to have either one of the pairs is going to have to, you know, align with one of the other pairs.
Right. I mean, that's assuming that Jeremy and Natalie are really that solid, right? Like, ultimately, each of them is in it for themselves.
Yeah,
like,
of course they're in it for
the way that, like, Missy and Baylor are not, and John and Jacqueline are not.
Sure, but at the same time, I don't think that, you know, Jeremy or Natalie would go with the other pair to vote the other one out. Like, their
isn't
best...
it likely that it happens at four, at six, right? Is that John and Jacqueline get voted out?
I mean, that is entirely possible, but
would
it's
you
also
vote out John at six, and then at five, you like bring over Jacqueline, or like the other the one group brings over Jacqueline and like, you know, reverses it. Like that seems to me like the most likely scenario.
But here's the problem here, and let's say Reed goes out next week, then you have like the three burping farting alliance, which is Wes, Keith, and Alec. And then, unfortunately, that group of three, their natural pitch is going to be to John and Jacqueline to say, hey, you guys can't break up the four of Jeremy, Natalie, Missy, and Baylor. And they're going to say, Jacqueline's going to say, no, you guys fart all the time. I'm not going with you guys.
Yeah.
And so
I really think that farting thing is just like, that's like a rationale, right? It's like, that's just like representative. It's like the metonymy, like the fart for the rudeness.
Yeah. But you know, it's just shorthand for that these guys are really short-sighted and did dumb stuff to piss off Jacqueline. And a lot of times, you know, you can piss off somebody, and then they're not going to be so forgiving. And I suspect maybe Jacqueline isn't going to be, you know, a game bot and thinking about like, oh, well, you know, Wes, Keith, and Alec are numbers. Right. I feel like she's turned off by these guys.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that's right. I think that's true. And it's like such a classic mistake, right? You see it every freaking season. Just be nice to people. Just be nice and respectful of people. And like, you can do very well, right? Like, basically, most of the people who are voted out at any given time and any marginal decision, it's always going to be who's the jerk and who's not the jerk.
Yeah, well, it's true in Survivor and in life. And I know we touch on it in the 49 laws of Survivors. Don't be an a-hole. And unfortunately, specifically, Alec cannot seem to follow this rule on Survivor. You cannot be an a-hole and then go and win Survivor.
Right. I mean, that is basically entirely accurate. I'm sure we could think back on some a-holes who, like, well, you know, like Brian Heidick, right? Like,
yeah, but he wasn't an a-hole in the game.
Right.
To the people that he played the game with, they thought highly of him, especially compared to the guy who he was next to, who many of the other players thought was a bigger a-hole.
Yeah.
So if you are going to be an a-hole, you want to sit next to an a-hole. But unfortunately, you know, you're not always surrounded by a-holes like on the Spaceball One. Yeah.
<It's too bad. laughs>
So that's tricky. Okay. let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, any other major topics from this episode before we jump into questions.
Talk about the taco feast, right? The taco. What was it? What's the hashtag? Taco what?
Taco overload.
Taco overload.
Yeah. You like that challenge?
Did you have a lot of rewards? Did you have a lot of, you get to go on some nice rewards?
Boy, I'm trying to think. I didn't go on too many rewards. I went on a reward at the final five with Mateo. We went and we made some barbecue stuff. But other than that, I didn't really go on too many rewards.
Did that, you know, did you binge? Were you able to, like, you know, restrain yourself? Classic mistake is what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah.
Like the person who overeats on the reward because they're so hungry and then they feel sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, symptomatic of the West game in that there's no foresight. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the ability to sort of see three or four moves ahead is sort of tantamount with being a good Survivor player. And much like, hey, if I eat 100 tacos and 9 margaritas, this isn't going to end well. Just like if I turn off the people that I'm supposed to be in an alliance with, that's not going to end well either.
Right. No. I mean, that's it. You're right. It's about self-control and discipline.
Self-control, discipline, foresight. I mean, these are the attributes of the good Survivor player.
Yeah. And being adaptable.
Okay.
That's the other one.
That's all good stuff. All good stuff. Not
charming.
Not charming. You let me eat so many tacos and then fart around everybody and
farting around. Farting around.
It's not good. That's not good. And it's dumb that we have to talk about this stuff in Survivor 29.
It is crazy. You know what? It's crazy. It's crazy that there are so many people who are so oblivious in America. You'd think that casting would have like found them all. These oblivious people who are just like cocky and can't like, but that's, you know, that's what's great. You know, kudos to casting. And like, maybe that's who gets the fishy this week, is casting for just finding all of these crazy
For
finding these people who just like literally cannot like see their own belly buttons. Is that a, is that an expression?
See them. Are they like obese people?
You know, they've got innies. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I like they got you know, people who can't.
And just one other thing. Also, like, it's like, oh, Keith is so hilarious. What comic relief. What a card Keith is. He's so funny. Well, you know what? I don't think that, you know, telling Missy that if Baylor was his kid, she'd get a whooping is that hilarious.
Yeah, we're probably not seeing that. Also, like, are people saying that about Keith?
I think that it's like, oh, Keith, what a, he's such a character. I know Jeff Probst earlier this season said, boy, Keith, if you're not smiling when Keith is on the screen, what a hilarious guy.
Really?
Yeah, he said that. He said that Keith is very fun. Oh, so, you know, they want, you know, what a fun guy, Keith. And I don't know.
Okay. I don't really remember that.
I don't know. We'll find the quote. Somebody find the quote and tweet it to Steven. All right. Yeah. All right, Steven, let's go ahead and let's get ready to get into everybody's questions here tonight live on Survivor Know-It-Alls. Make sure you get them in hashtag RHAP or also on our YouTube channel. robhashawebsite.com/YouTube. Let's take a minute and thank our sponsor for this episode of Rob Has a Podcast and Survivor Know-It-Alls. And those are our friends over at, what is it, Steven?
Oh, it's got to be Hulu Plus.
Hulu Plus, that's right.
You know I love Hulu Plus. It's great. I'm actually a fan and user of Hulu Plus.
Because Hulu Plus has enough fall TV shows that you're going to feel like Wes at a Survivor taco bar, just stuffing your eyeballs full of all these fall.
You'll never get sick from too much Hulu Plus.
You'll never get sick, and you'll never have any of the negative repercussions that Keith had from overindulging in all these TV shows. When you're binge watching is fine. Binge eating is no good.
Right. Binge watching is like changed the way we interact with each other.
That's absolutely because it's the fall and there's all sorts of TV shows on. And right now there's current season episodes of shows like Sleepy Hollow, Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Revenge, and Modern Family, Steven.
People, you know, I've seen some Bob's Burgers, but like people love that show. I actually might need to go on to Hulu Plus and like binge watch on Bob's Burgers because like I feel like I can't like meaningfully participate in culture without like watching Bob's Burgers.
Bob Crowley's Burgers?
Yeah, is that what
it is? If you're not caught up on shows, catch up now on Hulu Plus because you've watched Hulu Plus or Hulu on your computer, but Hulu Plus is much more because Hulu Plus lets you watch every episode of shows like South Park, Family Guy, America's Next Top Model, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And boy, there's a lot to keep up with these days, right, Steven?
Oh, like that picture that we talked about earlier.
Hey now. And plus all the Real Housewives of all the different cities because Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation, pretty much any streaming device that you own. And it works where you're in total control to stream as much as you want, whenever you want, binge watch all the shows that you're behind on. So you could just keep stuffing your eyeballs full of shows.
You know what, too, about Hulu Plus is that they actually recommend other shows like the one you're looking for or looking at, you know, so you can like watch a show and there'll be like similar shows. So it's actually a great way to like discover new programming that you'll also like. And I've done that in the past. Like when I've been looking for like types of shows, I'll look for like one show that I know I like and I'll get recommended other shows.
Okay. So it's like they fix you up with shows.
If you want to be like entertained.
Could Missy meet a new show that way?
Yeah,
I hear she just can't keep finding a show that she likes. She just like keeps trying show after show and can't find one that's a good fit.
Yeah.
Okay, because for $7.99 a month, you can watch your favorite fall shows anytime, anywhere. You'll get a special deal for a 2-week free trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob, because 2 weeks are better than one. Make sure you go to HuluPlus.com/Rob, get the extra free week, use the link, and then it will help support the podcast and you get a better deal. Go to HuluPlus.com/Rob. Do you think that John and Jacqueline can agree on a show to watch together?
Yeah, John's going to watch whatever Jacqueline wants him to watch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but John is like, but we could watch this show. Why? That my guy friends, they all want to watch this show. And she's like, no. Nah. No.
You like the Real Housewives. Yeah.
No, I don't like that show.
Yeah.
I don't like that show. All right, let's get into taking some of your questions from you guys here.
Good. This is great.
On Survivor Know-It-Alls. All right, Stephen, get us kicked off.
Lance Davis wants to know, true or false, when you're on Survivor, is gas just a normal body function? Is it true that this is Survivor and stuff like that is going to happen? Is it safe to say that you're going to get dirty, you're going to get nasty, and you're going to dot, dot, dot? What do you think, Rob? Is this the Hilton or is it Survivor?
Yeah, I'm going to get nasty. I want to cue my tidy whities right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say it's not the Hilton. You're going to get nasty. That being said, I don't think you want to necessarily be like, all right, ladies, time for me to start farting. You know, again, I don't know if the Survivor women that are out there are sort of like, you know, delicate flowers that they can't be around that stuff, but you don't need to be gross. And you know what? Being on Survivor is sort of like you're constantly taking everybody's temperature. So if somebody in your tribe isn't liking something you're doing, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Cause if you don't, you're a dumb player.
Yeah. That's really the core of it. And that's something that again, kudos to casting for finding people who will never stop doing that, who will always just do the thing that they want at the expense of everybody else. Like that's the gift of a great cast that keeps on giving. But, the idea of talking about how you want to waft your farts over to someone else. And especially when that person's mother is right there, not the move.
Yeah. But Stephen, you're right. When you talk about adapting, even if you're the kind of person that, let's say Wes and Keith, that, they have farting contests and they're a regular Terrence and Phillip in their own house. But yeah. You know what, when you are on Survivor, you have to adapt and figure out what the other people around you like. And if the other people around you aren't into the burping, farting, whatever, stop doing that. Just stop. Right. Stop it. You're trying to play. You're winning. You're trying to win $1 million. Just knock off the farting if people don't like it for 14 days.
And it's like now that there's a resource for future Survivor contestants to learn how to play strategically, which is the 49 Laws of Survivor Power. There's no excuse anymore.
Yeah. Stop. Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this, Steven? Let's go to Messine 14. Do you think that someone will hand out the immunity necklace to their loved one?
No.
No, I'm not thinking that it's going to happen this season. Maybe Missy will give it to Baylor if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I could sort of see that happen. Although more likely, Baylor will win and Missy will demand it for herself.
Yeah, I think so. Are you buying the Baylor is spoiled subplot?
I mean, I feel like we are seeing that she does not work around camp, and her whole thing, I was always taught that you should just take gifts and never have to have any gratitude for them.
Well, let's go back to that. Cause that was a big scene tonight of the Josh and Baylor thing. Do you think that Josh handled this okay? Or do you think that Josh handled this poorly?
I think we can agree. And it's what we talked about last week, that Josh did not handle this well. Right. The whole, you owe me is not a compelling, sales pitch.
Yeah. How could Josh have handled that better?
Someone on Twitter suggested he should say I'll owe you, switch it around to be I'll be in your debt if you guys take one for me now, or if you guys step up for me now. That actually seems to be a much more compelling argument.
Yeah, sort of hey, Baylor, we've had such a great relationship in the past. How do we keep it going? How do we keep working together?
Right, right. What can we do for the future? How can we get us to the end? Do me for good for one vote is not a compelling argument, because everyone wants to feel what's my path to the end? Why am I safe forever? No one wants to think I owe this person one vote and then I'm going to have to scramble and screw over my own game. You got to be, everyone always kind of wants that path to the end.
Yeah, because I think that in some ways, Josh sort of drove Baylor back into her mom's arms, back into the back seat.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
Okay. So let's go to another question. Steven, how's this from CL Broadway?
CL Broadway wants to know, I'm curious about survivor elimination of a different sort.
Oh, no.
How do the survivors go poop? They get toilet paper. Is there a tribe designated poop spot? Do women get feminine products when they are menstruating?
We're really going down the wormhole tonight, Stephen.
This one is for you, Rob.
Okay, so let me take this question in three parts. Do you get toilet paper? No, you dig a hole. That's it.
You leaves.
Yeah, I feel like that's typically one of the, you know, when you talk to somebody who really doesn't know Survivor, Steven, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, when you just, like, let's say you meet somebody who doesn't really know anything about Survivor, isn't this like one of the first things that you get asked about?
Yeah, where do you poop?
Where do you go to the bathroom? Where do you go to the bathroom on Survivor?
Always.
So, dig a hole. That's it. And
leaves are great. Like, when I came back, I was like, I'm not going back to TP. It's leaves all the way.
Yes. Anyway, and as far as, you know, the women's stuff, there's a first aid kit. It's not an area that I know a lot about. But yes, the women get a first aid kit. And ask one of the female survivors on Twitter for more details on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Ryan McMurray. Why do you think they decided not to show the picks in the reward challenge? I think it would have been interesting to see the dynamic of who picked who in the order and maybe get Muffin's take on not getting picked. Steven, they do this a lot of, we divided the tribes into groups and they don't show it.
Action packed episode. We don't really need to see, you know, I think like that's the minute you cut, right? The minute of like, well, now Baylor is a team captain. Now Reed is a team captain, and they each choose one and they choose another. Like, that's, you know, in an episode where you have a total, so much going on, you know, total strategic reversals, someone finding an idol. That's the minute that you leave on the editing room floor.
Yeah. It was interesting though that Missy got picked last. Do you buy any strategic thought of that, or is it just that Missy is not going to be a help in this physical challenge?
Yeah, I think that's it. Missy's not going to be a help. I mean, you saw John and Jacqueline were on the same. I'm sorry, Jacqueline and Baylor were on the same tribe, in the same group for that, and you know, probably the two smallest people among the group. You know, I think that was just unfortunate, and probably, but. Based on who was the team captain, and someone on Twitter told me that Reed and Baylor were the team captains. So basically, the biggest guy and the smallest girl.
Yeah, and Baylor didn't pick her mom, or was it one of these things where you have to pick a male, and then a male picks the next person, like a Palau style thing?
I doubt that. I just, like, why would, you know, Missy's probably the weakest person there. Like, why would she pick her mom?
I don't know. Maybe because her mom said she had to.
Yeah.
All right. Petite Chow Pumpkin. Do you think that tonight is the beginning of the Reed winning edit? He definitely got more airtime tonight than he had the whole season. And without Josh, could he emerge as a new strategic player? Maybe he'll play up the single card. All right.
I mean, it's conceivable. I think that would be a long shot, right? We've seen so little of Reed that I would be surprised if he came back and won. That would really be a very strange edit for a winner.
All right. I would say, how about this, Steven? Of the four people in the minority, though, would you give Reed the best chance to win out of Reed, Wes, Keith, Alec?
Based on strategy or based on edit or what?
Like, based on up to the point that we're on, don't worry about the edit. Of these four people, who do you think has the best chance to win?
Keith over Reed, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah. I'd still say Reed, just because that he has the social game that none of these other three guys have.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. But, like, you know, Keith is like a hardworking guy. He's not going to be a huge target now. You know, you can see him getting late, and then like him having like all of the loyalty of the jury. You know, if it is Josh, Reed, Wes, Alec on the jury, right? Who are they voting for? They're voting for Keith.
Yeah, I would say that Reed is the most likely to go home next week. But if he can somehow figure out a way to stick around next week, I think he has the best chance of those four guys.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Want to make a wager on who goes farther?
Well, I think that Reed has the best chance to go home next week. But if he can figure out a way to get through next week, I think he has a chance to go further than Keith.
All right. I'm into it.
Okay.
Trav Survivor fan, Travis Hero, wants to know, do you think Reed is going to stick with his alliance, or is he going to join the Scorned Singles?
Scorned Singles? Whoa, is that a hashtag?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm Reed, I'm going to try to get away from the meat collectors and, you know, the farters and stuff like that, because I think he could say, like, hey, don't lump me in with these guys.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Reed is going to do what's good for Reed and as long as he gets to eat, he'll be happy.
You know, I mean, we saw that Reed did have a good relationship with John and Jacqueline. You know, he was with them tonight.
Yeah, I thought so too, right? Like, everyone likes Reed.
Yeah. It just seems like of those guys, like, he seems like he would be the least likely person that they would say, this person we can't stand. It would really just be if he's a physical threat, we need to get rid of this person.
Right. And that's, I mean, he's just a, he's a guy, a huge guy, and he's incredibly athletic. Like, I just can't see that guy making it all the way to the end.
Yeah. Let's take a question from Shauna, who says, did John really just say this is huge after finding an idol clue? I believe he did.
I did. He did say that. He did say that.
That's true. That is a, that yeah. is a true thing.
Nick2S wanted to know, should Josh have asked who John and Jacqueline would want to vote out rather than just tell them to vote Baylor?
That's a good question. That's a good thought.
It's a great call. It's a great call. And typically with these things, you want to build a consensus, and you definitely do not want to legislate, right? And I think that that's another, it's another flaw.
Yeah. I mean, how did they end up on Baylor?
Josh felt hurt, right? He felt betrayed by her because she wasn't going to be loyal and he wanted to get her out.
Yeah. And that's really what it came down to. It wasn't that the, or was it just a consensus from that group of that Josh said, okay, she has to go because she's not listening to me. I feel like Missy would be the better pick to get out in lieu of Jeremy.
Yeah, I think so too. Missy was more of a linchpin, right? The idea is like you vote out Missy, maybe then you got a shot at pulling Baylor over.
Yeah.
You know, I think he just felt really betrayed by Baylor. And, you know, people vote. People aren't just strategic game bots, right? People think emotionally.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Edward Morris, who said, should John and Jacqueline flip alliances now and get rid of Jeremy or Missy Baylor? Well, that doesn't seem like such a hot idea at this point. It's like you sort of like got to make your bed and hang out there for a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's funny. Like that would be, I mean, just flipping back once is bad, but flipping twice, and they're almost at like the flipping three times already, right? Like nobody knows they flipped twice already, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if flipping twice is, if there's like, you know, sort of one flip is okay, but two flips is bad. I think that you can, but I feel like just to do it week to week, like to flip at 11 and then flip back at 10, like I feel like that's sort of, you know, I think maybe the next flip you're going to target is probably around like 7.
Right. I think that's right. Yeah. I think once we get down to like, you know, once a few people have sort of been weeded out, then there's an opportunity to like mix it up again.
Okay. Let's do a couple more questions. How about this one from Kayla?
Kayla wants to know, why would Jacqueline call John stupid for thinking about the end of the game when they are merged? Makes zero sense to me.
All right, what's your verdict on this, Stephen?
I think Jacqueline is right. Jacqueline didn't say, you know, he's dumb for thinking about the end of the game. Jacqueline said he was dumb for thinking. I mean, that those were her words. He's thinking too far ahead, but it was about like, can Jeremy win in the finals? Right. Like, you know, will Jeremy beat us in the finals? Like that is a little bit of a projection too far ahead. Like you have to think like, how are we going to get to the end before we can win the end? You know, who are we going to get there with? You know, you want to be with people who you can beat, but you also want to be there.
I agree. I think that was stupid that he said that, oh, well, Jeremy's a firefighter. He's struggling. He's got kids. So he'll definitely win. So we got to go with the other group.
I mean, what about just not going to the end with Jeremy? Like, why does that teaming up with Jeremy somehow necessitate like Jeremy sitting there at the end with you? Like, what about taking Baylor to the end? You know, like if you're John and Jacqueline, you should be thinking, who do we want? Who from this whole group do we want next yeah. to us? You know, Baylor.
You know, it's final 11. Let's get there. Let's yeah. get there. Let's start, you know, let's not worry about this right now at final 11.
I could see Baylor being sort of that like jury goat who everyone kind of wants to bring to the end because people have so much, anger towards her.
Yeah. Let's take this question from Mike Scarlett, who says a higher ratio of gratuitous strategy scenes to the episode. John and Jacqueline in Survivor San Juan del Sur or JT and Steven in Survivor Token Cheese. I'm sorry. Is that Survivor Taco Teens?
Taco Teens. Yeah, that's what we were called. We're the Taco Teens.
Yeah.
Us. Obviously, us. They weren't gratuitous, though. Every one of them was precious.
They were all precious. All right. Let's do one last question here tonight on the Know It Alls.
All right. Fizzy 27. Amy wants to know: can Jeremy win the game, even though the edit states that he's only there because Julie quit? It's a good question. Yeah. Can Jeremy win the game?
I think Jeremy can win the game. I didn't get the sense that Jeremy is that his edit is he's only there because Julie quit. I mean, I think that it was like a fortuitous circumstance for him that Julie quit, but I don't get the sense that, you know, Jeremy, like to say that he's only there because Julie quit. He was playing a very strong game. He was down in the numbers. He benefited from Julie quitting, but now I think he's off to the races.
I got to say, like, out of the gate and through the pre-merge, I was like, Josh has got the winner edit. Jeremy's got the merge boot edit, you know, and Jeremy seemed a little overconfident. He seemed like a little cocky. And I was sure that this was the guy who was being set up to, like, for the fall. And I was 100% wrong, right? Josh was the guy who was being set up for the fall, even though he wasn't overconfident. He was the guy who was the classic merge boot, in as much as he was kind of running the show. And the fact that he wasn't cocky was, like, misleading. But, you know, Jeremy could be the one to go all the way. I could see it. Okay. Like, he's a strong, aggressive, strategic player. He's constantly thinking things through. He could definitely be the one who today, who moving forward, takes things all the way.
Scott St. Pierre says he has one more question he wants us to look at. This is from Jeremy Graham. He says, did Josh make the jury even or not? I didn't catch what Probst said when he stepped out the torch. Is Josh on the jury?
I think so. I mean, did he not say?
I thought so. I thought he said he did.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you think this is a final three with a jury of eight or a final two with a jury of nine?
I can't even begin to speculate.
Okay.
What do you think? Come on. You know, don't just cherry pick from whatever you're doing. You know?
I would say a final three with a jury of eight.
That's what I think too.
Okay. Steven, Josh, your boy that you've been such a big fan this season. Is Josh a potential Survivor All-Star? I'm going to take the word potential out of it. I'm going to make this binary, make this easy for you. Josh play Survivor again? Yes or no?
I want to have a gray, because here's the thing. We've got this great crop of players from recent seasons. And, like, for some reason, there's no All-Star season, at least none that I've heard about. You've got these, like, you've got the Spencers, you've got the Joshes, you've got the Vetuses, you've got the Haydens, you've got the Sierras, you know, you've got, like, the Casses. And in a couple of years, in a year or two even, like, it's going to be too late to cast these players again. Like, people will have already forgotten about them. So, like, my plea to casting is to give us a full All-Star season with these people, with this recent crop of Survivors, who you've got amazing players, great characters in this mix. Like, let's make it happen. Come on.
Seems like Survivor is off the All-Star bandwagon at this point in Survivor history.
Yeah.
Because there was a commercial during the episode tonight, like, hey, think you've got what it takes? Send in a tape to Survivor, CBS Survivor casting.
I would like to see, and I know everyone's like, too many All-Stars, too many All-Stars. I would like to see some of these, like, great players come back in a true All-Star season. I hate fans versus favorites, because it's like, you know, it's just basically throwing lambs to the slaughter. But just do a full All-Star season. Doesn't even have to be themed. Just, like, throw the best, you know, 20 folks from the last couple of seasons. I think it could be amazing.
So, and you want it, people since Heroes versus Villains or all time?
Yeah, I think that's a good metric, since Heroes versus Villains. I mean, there's great potential. There's great names in there. And, you know, like, then you throw in, like, Sue Hawk or something, you know, the random one old person. But,
whoa, yeah. One random old person. All right. Yeah.
Mix it up. You don't have to throw in Sue Hawk, whatever. You know, there's great players. There's a great crop of guys.
People from Caramoan, are they eligible? People that came back? Do you want three timers or just two?
No. Just two timers. Like Snowy, you know. Like,
so no Cochrane, no Malcolm, no Andrea.
Yeah, yeah. No, none of those folks. Just, like, the new crop, the new blood, Survivor new blood. You know, we're going to have, you know, Sierra, Cass, you know, Natalie, again,
we have 20 of those people.
I think if you do winners too, if you do winners, you got Tony, you got Kim, you know, you got some real freaking people. You got Sophie, like, just throw winners in there. My God, why not? You got to lose.
Steven, who got the fishy tonight? You said it was going to be for people in casting. Who really gets the fishy?
It's either Jacqueline or Natalie. I can't decide.
So Jeremy or Natalie?
Jacqueline or Natalie.
Jacqueline or Natalie. I'd say give it to Jacqueline. What did Natalie do?
Natalie was great in that she, like, played whenever, like, the guys were, like, saying offensive things. Natalie jumped on it, and in a subtle way too. She would be like, "Oh, can you believe he just said that? Oh my God, that's so disrespectful." You know, she really had it a good take.
Okay. All right, so we'll see what ultimately ends up happening. I will speak with Josh, get to ask him some questions tomorrow morning on the exit interview, and then I'll speak with Otis and get into all the questions that Steven is dying to know from Otis once again when he returns to Rob Has a Podcast. And get your voicemails in, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. And last call for the RHAP Bell shirt. It's closing tomorrow. That's it. Windows closing.
Get it. Now it's like a freaking collector's item.
Collectors, it will be.
Yeah.
All right.
That's crazy. It just expires. That's crazy.
That's how it works. Yeah. The window to use it. It's like the Tyler Perry idol. The window to use it is tomorrow afternoon. Thursday. Yeah. All right.
Get it.
Steven, thank you so much. We will talk to you again next Wednesday night. Make sure you subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks, Rob. Good night.